Well, Father, sometimes our prayers are really obvious to you, and so you hear the hacking, and you hear the coughing and the sneezing, and you know what we have to deal with. So thank you that you are the great physician. Thank you, Father, that you know how to bring healing and restoration to our bodies as well as to our minds and spirits. And so we just trust you and look to you and thank you in advance for how you're going to continue to bring your healing touch to each one. And we'll give you thanks for that in Christ's name. Amen. Let's continue to pray. Spring's going to lead us here.
We're going to be praying for some missionaries in Jos, Nigeria. They work with SIM, which is Serving in Missions. They're not allowed to give us their names for safety purposes. But on the 21st of this month, there was a lot of violence that broke out between the Christians and the Muslims there. And they got a letter from some of the missionaries there, and they were sharing that their stuck in the compound and can't leave, and the only thing they ever hear is like occasional gunshots, which that's always encouraging. And that they asked that we would just, in his letter he says, pray for wisdom and righteousness for all decision makers in the discerning of the situation, for just actions by the military to restore order, for peace and just amidst a populace now belligerent with repeated incidents of violence, for the Lord's protection of his people, for his empowerment of grace upon them to fulfill, faithfully seek the purposes of his kingdom amidst evil forces. So if y'all would just pray for me, for them, and their protection. Lord, I pray that you would be with the missionaries that are in Jos, Lord, that you would work in the hearts of the government, that you would give them wisdom and righteousness to know what to do. Lord, that you would Lord, give the military wisdom, God, that they would just be justice and do right in all their actions and trying to get this thing straightened out. God, I pray that you would give the people peace there in the midst of all this violence, God, that you would protect your people that are serving you there, that you would just give them the strength and the courage to continue on, Lord, and depend on you. And God, I pray that you would empower them with your grace to just share the gospel with those there no matter what happens on around them. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
So I just want to ask you guys a question today, and it's, is there anyone in your life that you don't like? But let's just say the word. Is there somebody in your life that you hate? I know it's strong language for a Christian to say, I hate that guy, but let's just face the facts. There's some people we just don't get along with, some people who frustrate us, who annoy us, who we just can't stand to be around. They're just so frustrating. My brother Jake's ex-girlfriend is one of these people for me. I just can't stand her. She didn't do anything to me, but she hurt my brother. And that is something that I just can't stand. It makes me angry. It makes that dragon well up inside, and I can't stand even being around her. She frustrates me. I'm afraid that when I'm around her, I'm gonna be a jerk. And I don't want to be a jerk, so I just try to avoid her. See, this idea of how we treat people differently based on how they treat us is not something new. It's something very old. Very old. Christ talks about it in Matthew when he says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Treat people how you treat, or how they treat you. It's called Callian Law, and it was very popular in the ancient times. Somebody cut off your hand, you'd cut off their hand. Somebody stole your goat, you'd take a goat from them. It was equal exchange. Treat people how they treat you. But Christ redefines this flawed idea that these people have. You see, he's talking in Luke chapter 6, he's giving the Sermon on the Plain. He's telling people how to live, how to be. And he's changing it from what they always thought it would be. He's changing it from this idea that we're blessed when we have so many things, that we're blessed when we struggle because we'll come through it. And this next section, Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36, Christ says this, But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Christ breaks down everything we know about how we treat people. It's an amazing thing that when we allow Christ to reform our understanding of love, we'll be able to show love to our enemies. He flips the idea that if somebody hurts me, it's okay to hurt them back or ignore them or treat them differently. And he says, if somebody hurts you, pray for them. You see, we can show love to our enemies by doing good to them. We can show love to our enemies by blessing them, even when they curse us. We can show love to our enemies by praying for them when they mistreat us. Though these people hurt us, we treat them the way we want to be treated. I wonder what it would be like if God had treated us as we treated him, as we deserved to be treated. Treated us like the sinners we are, who were wrong in his eyes and wronged him, who cursed his name and spit on him. I wonder what it would be like, because we would all be dead from his wrath. But he loves us so much that he wants to change this idea of how we are in our sinfulness, to be more like him and his love. You see, he came here to this sinful place to save us from ourselves and our foolishness, to redefine how we treat people, to give us love. Second thing I want to look at is found in verses 32 through 34. Christ says this: if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. We are to give love to people without the need to receive it back from them. We are to do good to people even when they aren't good to us. We are to lend to people even when we aren't going to be repaid. And I think that last one is the one that hits hardest with our American society. We love money a lot of times. We treat it with more respect than we treat the people around us a lot of times. It's something that the people then did. I'm not going to give this guy money because I'm not ever going to get it back. I'm only going to give money to those people who can repay me, who can give me something back. And it's not just lending money that he's talking about here. He's talking about giving of ourselves even when we don't expect to be repaid, even when we don't get anything back from these people. When we do these things, it will show the difference between who we are now as disciples of Christ and who we have been as disciples of the world. Christ says that when a student is fully mature, he will look and be like his master. Who do we look like today? Do we look like the world from which we come, from which we've learned for so long? Or are we looking more like our Master and our Lord, the one who redefines love and changes our hearts? Do we look like the fools around us? Or do we look at them with love and draw them closer to Jesus? When we allow Christ to reform our understanding of love, we will be children of God. He says in verses 35 and 36, "But love your enemies and do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid, to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." When we love our enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting repayment, we will be sons of God. We will be daughters of God. We will be children of God, because we will reflect who He is by being kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. So there's this woman who's hurt my brother, and I just can't stand to be around her. I look at her, and she just makes me mad the way she treats him. She disrespects him. She pawns their kids off on him because it's easy for her. She takes advantage of his love for the children in order to do what she wants to. And that makes me mad. That makes me angry, not only at her, but at myself. Because I look at her, and this anger that's welling up inside of me is something that I know it shouldn't be. Something that, if I were more like Christ, wouldn't be there. You see, Christ came to this world, and we spit on Him again, and we cursed Him again, and we caused Him pain. If He can forgive the soldiers who hung Him on the cross, if He can forgive the soldiers who the whole way in carrying the cross to that hill spit on Him and mocked Him, told Him to save Himself, if He can forgive the Roman soldiers who bowed to Him in a robe and a crown and beat Him, if He can forgive those soldiers who scourged Him, then I can forgive this woman who's hurt my family, because it's so much less than what He endured from us. It's so much less than anything that we have done to Him. When we allow God to redefine what we understand as love, then we are able to be like Christ in loving our enemies and in showing that love through our actions to them. When we do this, we are children of God. We become His sons and daughters. What if He hadn't loved us, His enemies? Because we were His enemies before we knew and accepted Jesus. We who lived in a world that spit on the name of God through its sin. Do we look like our Master and Savior today? Or do we look like the world? We are extensions of His perfect love to this world, this very imperfect world. To people who we don't think we could ever love, but who we know God loves so deeply and so perfectly. Every bit as much as He loves us, He loves Noble Shockley, who's hurt my family. He loves her as a daughter, and I treat her as a servant and a slave and an outsider. I act like she isn't there. There is no difference in God's eyes between the murderer and the saint. I'll say that again. There is no difference in God's eyes between the murderer and the saint. This is a challenge to us because it is so different than what the world says and what we are used to is the world. If somebody hurts you, hurt them back. If somebody tries to kill you, you try to kill them right back. That's your right. That's what we're told. But it's wrong, according to this. I trust this over the world. It's wrong according to the Lord, and I trust Him with my life, with my afterlife. Everything is dependent on this. So the three things I want to point out to you from this scripture. Number one, when we allow God to reform our understanding of love, we will be able to show love to our enemies. And when we allow God to reform our understanding of love, our actions will reflect the state of our hearts. Number three, when we allow God to reform our understanding of love, we will be His children. We will not be children of this world anymore. We will not be children of sinners, but we will be children of the Most High King and Lord of the world, universe, creator. He is our Father when we do this, when we love people as He has loved us. People who don't deserve it, people who hurt us, people who spit on us and curse us. When we show love to them, we are His children. So to apply this today, to make this real, think of a person who you hate. Hold them in your mind. Just think of that person for me. Noble Shockley, the woman who hurt my brother and still does on a daily basis, who causes pain to my family and annoyance to me. I want you to think about that person every day and pray for them every day. If you need to, read this passage to keep it fresh in your mind and think about how much God loves that person. Think about how much God loves you when you hurt Him. Think about the fact that if Christ had remained our enemy, we would all be doomed to hell. But He came in love to show love to a world without love. I'll say that again. He came in love to show love to our world without love. He suffered so much for the sake of a world that curses His name. If He can love me, knowing all that I am, then I can love her. Because I don't know her. I don't know her like He knows her. But I can show love. So can everyone in this room. It's very possible, very practical, very real. Hold a person in your mind, think about them, and pray for them. So Lord, I just want to thank You for this message. I want to thank You for love when we don't deserve it. I want to thank You for redefining what it means to love. Redefining our actions, redefining how we react to people when they hurt us and they spit on us and they curse us and they throw us to the dogs, the lions. But You, Lord, You have shown us what it means to love. You came to this place, sinful world, to show love, and I thank You for that. You have redeemed us, and so redeem our idea of love. Redeem our actions. Redeem us to be Your children. Lord, I pray for Noble. Pray for everyone who we consider enemies. And I ask that You would just bless her. Bless her and her family. Bless her children. Give her strength when she is weak. Guide her and teach her. May she come to know You and love You. May she raise her children in a way that honors You. And may I be able to love her. To show that love in a real practical way. So please, Lord, give me strength to love, because I am weak. And if I don't have Your strength, I'll sin and I'll curse her back. I'll hurt her back. So please, Lord, help us not to act like the world and hurt those who hurt us, but to act like You, to love those who hate us. So please, Lord, give us strength to do this. And I bless Your holy and precious name. Amen.